The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's the Weekend Podcast. It's the 1st of December. Santa Claus is coming with his little rally and Pete and Steve are here.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello. I do think we'll have a rally. I watched the G20. I see Theresa, though. She's still going around the country flogging that dead horse, isn't she? Theresa, nobody wants it.
Yeah, she's flogging it to people that aren't voting, which I don't quite understand.
I was going to ask that question. What? I don't understand why she's going around the country trying to sell it, because surely that's got nothing to do with what actually...
Yeah, when she comes back, someone will tell her, Theresa, they're not voting for it. Are they? Well, that's a wasted journey, wasn't it? Actually, the other day, she was in the Parliament in the morning, and then she took a flight to Scotland to go to a factory, one factory in Scotland, then come back. I thought, that is not bad, good for the environment. You know, you're flogging a dead horse, dragging that dead horse on the plane with you, just not good for the environment. Stop it. The thing is...
And also, go on. Do you know the thing that they're trying to get a debate with Jeremy Corbyn? Don't they do that like pretty much once a week in Parliament, live on BBC Parliament?
Yeah, exactly. Over the day, that's the big deal. Yeah. This time there won't be a speaker. I suppose it's a different... Are you in the toilet, Steve?
No, I'm making a cup of tea. Don't worry.
With what? Sounds like you actually using your thing there to fill the cup up. Anyway, listen, a G20's happening and Trump's over there, of course, with he's going to meet with Xi Jinping and all that stuff. Do you know what I was thinking the other day, right? The EU, I got into an argument on Twitter again last night. I do you know what, all the time. Twitter. I did tweet out the other week saying, welcome to Twitter. An argument is available 24 hours a day on any subject. You can do it what time of day it is. You can find an argument on Twitter. I literally got I get up at about 4:30 in the morning, right? And I start doing work. And literally, I got into an argument the other day at 4:45 in the morning. This is ridiculous. I've been up for a quarter of an hour. I'm arguing on Twitter for something about the Brexit. And
Insomniac fighting.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, my eyes are barely open. I'm arguing on Twitter with someone who's got, you know, a profile picture of a skull or something. It's ridiculous.
Justin, you could start a fight in an empty room, as you said before. It's not a surprise, really. It's a digital version of that, really, isn't it?
But I said, do you know what, last night, I said, do you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm going to buy British now. Everything. Just buy British. If I go to the supermarket, right, anything. I never go to the supermarket. The missus always does. I said, if I go to the supermarket, I'm going to look at the packaging. If it's from France or Germany, I'm not going to bother. Put it back. I'm just going to buy British. Everything. My pants, my socks, my shoes, everything British. Scarf, hat, lipstick, whatever. I'm buying British. I'm not buying any French loaves anymore, any apple strudel from Germany. None of that nonsense. Everything I buy is British. Even if I go for a haircut, I'm not going to pop over the channel and have a fancy French haircut.
You're not going to go abroad on holiday anymore?
No way. I'm not going to buy...
Are you sure?
I'm not going to have affairs with Italian women. Just only British women.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have affairs with...
And you're going to sell that German car of yours?
Yes, everything down my pants will be British, made in Britain. But the thing is, if we support British goods, and what's wrong with that? It's not jingoistic, or I think it's really good that we support, local. Why are we buying?
I'm lost here. We all try and support British, don't we?
We don't, do we? We don't. Most of the time you chuck stuff in your basket. Do you actually check who's made the stuff, where it's come from?
I do. Food miles point of view. I also don't go around the shop supermarket.
Steve's drinking champagne in the morning, first thing in the morning. Just a champagne socialite. Mm. Steve, check
strawberries are British, though.
Yeah, check they're from Britain. Even strawberries come from Spain sometimes. Blueberries from Chile.
This is a very middle class thing to say. I noticed my avocado the other day came from Peru, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to buy them."
Well, I don't mind that. I don't mind supporting little Peru farmers, that's where Panda Bay come from, isn't it?
They're a soft fruit, whatever. They must have been flown here by an aeroplane, not on a ship. And so you think the food miles and the impact on the environment. I'm getting all eco there, but
it's true. Yeah, we are killing the planet.
Anyway.
Well, where do I get my avocado from? Where my avocado's coming from?
But I don't think we could probably grow enough avocado in Britain to sort of.
Oh, what, Steve?
Grow enough.
Avocado?
Avocado.
Avocado! I'm growing my avocados in my garden. Not turning out nice at all. But, yeah, that's the trouble, is it?
Taking the subject completely.
I'm buying bananas from Britain, that's all. I'm going to buy mangoes and avocados from Britain. Pineapples, all from Britain. Coconuts, Britain. Yeah. Unless they've got British on them, I'm not buying them.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well done.
And that was it.
What's your argument about?
But one other thing. When it comes to cars, it's a bit tricky, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's what
I'd say. The thing is, Germany is the biggest economy, right, in Europe. It's the strongest and biggest. And their biggest industry is the car industry. You give them a knock in the car. If you stop buying BMWs, in fact, stop going to Lidl and Aldi. Go to Asda. No, in fact, Asda's Walmart. Go to Tesco's. Exactly. It's owned by shareholders. No. go to Sainsbury's. What is the most British? That's what they want to do. That's a good marketing ploy for you supermarkets. Who is the most British supermarket out there? That's what we're going to do. We are British. They should start doing that. We will not get anything from anyone else. Every product we have, everything you have, the air you breathe is all British. Everyone who works near is British. Everything. We all wear British pants and socks.
Yeah. But the car thing, what you can do, though, you are supporting British industry because a lot of those foreign cars, or a selection of them, are built here, aren't they? So, like, the Micra, Nissan Micra is built
Support Japanese to support the Micra.
Peugeot is built in Coventry.
I don't want to buy Peugeot. They're French. They are absolutely... do you know what? Apart from that...
I support British workers, though, because that's their... By buying a Peugeot, I haven't got a Peugeot, but if I had a Peugeot, I'd be supporting British workers.
I'm just going to go buy a Rolls Royce. Keep it very British.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Central.
I'm not going to buy...
Justin, you're going to get rid of your Italian sports car now?
Yeah, I'm not going to buy any more Ferraris. It's the last Ferrari I buy. I've got too many of them here.
too many. Yeah.
And but do you know what? French, though, are dreadful. Isn't it odd why French are dreadful at making cars? They are. Renault and Peugeot, right, are rubbish. Citroën. Renault, Peugeot, Citroën are rubbish. My father owns car sales. He's going to stop selling Peugeot once because he had so many problems with people coming back with them. He's going to stop selling them. Absolutely rubbish. And why is the Germans so good at it, yet, down the road, the French are rubbish? And in fact, so is the Spanish a bit rubbish. Italian are okay, but, supercars. Isn't that odd? What do we do anymore? I mean, is that the only option we got?
Hold on. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. At least the French make cars. Yeah. We make French cars.
I prefer not to make one than make a rubbish one. I know, but it says but Peugeot, Citroën, Macron, in the vein of your cars.
The real Brexiteer in you is coming out now, isn't it?
Let me just plug my laptop in because it's going down on power. I'm going to use British power, yeah?
Anyone complaining about that?
I'm not using French power. No, there's German electricity. No, German electricity in fact, EDF. EDF is French, isn't it? Oh, German.
EDF, French.
Everywhere. But and then someone, I was arguing on Twitter, and someone pointed out to me, he said, well, listen, I said, do you know when you buy fruit in supermarkets, everyone, when you buy fruit in supermarkets, there's a tariff on that because it's outside the EU. That's Project Fear for you. Not a big deal, is it? There's a fluctuation in currencies are bigger than the tariffs we receive. Not a big deal. And do you know what happens? So the pound will get weaker, okay? That makes our exports more attractive. Okay, if we need to import things, it'll be more expensive. So we won't buy so much. So it'll affect their economies, not ours, because we'll be exporting a lot more. And it's not a problem. So someone said to me, yes, but the trouble is, the EU have free trade agreements with quite a few of these countries, like Chile and all these. And I said, the blueberries come from Chile. I said, well, hang on a sec. If the EU have free trade agreements with Chile, why wouldn't they do them with us? We are a major trading partner of theirs. We're the fifth biggest economy in the world. They'd be insane not to have a free trading agreement with us when they got a free trade agreement with Chile and Azerbaijan and Barbados and all these places, these small little countries. And yet they're not going to do one with us. Of course they're going to have a free trade agreement with us. All this Project Fear is nonsense. It really is. And we'd save money straight away coming out of the EU. And do you know what? We'd end up trading. It's one of these things. People hate the unknown. They're scared of the unknown. And it never materialises. These worries we have in our heads never materialise. I put this on Twitter, but there's I read this survey. It was about happiness and all this. And they asked all these 80-year-olds, people who are 80 and above, long life, and they asked them a couple of questions about life. And one of the main things most of them said, the most popular answer they all said was, if I had my time again, I'd try not to worry so much. Nothing ever materialises. You envisage worry, the unknown worries you, and then do you know what? Afterwards, it's not a big deal. We'll look back on this as in, well, do you remember all those people saying everything would stop at the ports and all that rubbish? It was like, it was like the 2000 bug, the computer bug that's going to bring down all our computers. And people spending thousands. There were people making millions on that. Weren't there? There were people actually, I'll sort your computers out and all this stuff. And do you know what? Nothing came of it whatsoever. Not one glitch.
And GDPR was the same, really, this year, wasn't it, really, in terms of getting everything? Oh, yeah, you need to get everything. Oh, yeah, in reality.
My father started panicking about that. He's going to get my website's all up to date to the very fine thousands of pounds. I thought, no. And in fact, I got an email list. Every now I can send out an email, you know, about stocks and stuff. And I said, I don't care. Those people have opted in. I said, my father knew you have to be compliant. I said, no, I said, Dad, as long as you're not really, you know, spamming people and using their data incorrectly, as long as you're being correct and nice about things, you know, you're conducting yourself in an organised way and you're not doing the wrong thing, it's fine. I said, those people have opted into my email thing. I don't send them out another email. People are saying, you've got to send them another email. All of them are saying, do you really want to subscribe? I said, no, they've done that. They've done that. I'm not doing it again. No. Take me to court. Lock me up.
Anyway.
No, I'm not going to do that again. They've done it. Just because a certain date has passed, and I'll say, oh, can you do this again? No, that's spam. It's me spamming them, saying, do you sure you want this? Yes, I do, because they've subscribed to it.
Do you know what? I find that quite annoying on a website. Now, every website you go to, even if it's one you visited before, it says, do you agree to the cookies? I'm like, I've done it every time I go to it. It's just an annoying now.
I know, exactly. Yeah. When it's ridiculous. That's the EU for you. That is the EU. Putting more rules in place, writing laws.
Okay. What you're saying there about...
I can bring everything around to blame the EU. I can bring everything around to blame the EU. Everything.
Okay.
Everything's wrong with our lives. It's down to the EU.
Okay, so here's a question for you, actually. So what's your verdict on the votes then?
Yeah.
It will get thrown out. Of course it will.
No. What do you want? I'm asking.
I don't want that to pass because.
You want a no deal?
Yeah. No. Well, do you know what? I think
we can vote again and stay in.
Let me finish.
That's first.
I think we can negotiate a lot better deal. We've basically, you know, it's what Britain wants. You could say, no, it's not what Britain wants. What are you talking about? Have you asked Britain? People don't want that. They want it out. So I don't care if we come fully out. I think we have to come fully out to negotiate properly. You know, we have to do it. At the moment, you know, like I said, that 38 minutes they took to sign that up and say, yeah, it's a good deal, to me, said straight away, they got the better end of the deal. And they shouldn't, because we're one of the biggest, you know, economic powers. That we are, you know, just Germany, France, us, three biggest powers in that sort of, you know, EU. And Italy, you know, collapsing pretty much. So they've got problems of their own. And yet we are bending over backwards to let them come into our waters to fish and all that stuff. No. We're coming out. If you want to do a deal with us, fair enough. If you don't, fine. That's it.
But don't you think that, being a conspiracy theorist for a moment, that it's all part of a much bigger plan, a master plan from the upper echelons of European politics, that they come out with a deal they've agreed with us, a deal, the only deal that's possible. It's a rubbish deal. The only other option is a no deal. And then it's basically meandering towards, needs to be a vote to actually go, do we accept this deal? Do we accept no deal? We as a people, as a population. And then ultimately people, like you say, Project Fear, whatever, but to actually then, it's a bigger ruse to actually keep us all in.
Yeah, well, I think it's to keep us tightly closed. They didn't, isn't. The EU...
And then me and Steve will be at street parties going, yeah, that's great. See, it's fine. Just stay as we are. And you'll be like, crying and fighting on Twitter with people. Go, no, it's not fair.
But listen.
And the stock exchange will rock.
Why should we have to... It's ridiculous. We are paying into this club... And it's a political club now.
Yes.
It's not what it was set up to do, to help free trade and trade and make trade easier. It's not. It's not there to facilitate trade. It's a protectionist bloc. It pushes prices up. And also now they're telling us politically what to do. That's not what we signed up to do. It wasn't about that. And that's gone too far. And now they think about a European army. No, hang on a sec. All we did was help business. That's all it was for in the first place. This is not helping business. And now, if you're not in there with a club with them, they won't affect your business. So,
if you had a choice, and say it goes to the country and you say, right, you can vote for the deal that's been agreed. The no deal is option two or option three. You know, just we'll just stay, we'll remain in the
EU. No deal.
You vote for no deal.
Yes, because do you know what? No deal is the best. Isn't it amazing? Is it insane? Insane what she's saying, that lady, Theresa May. She doesn't listen to anyone. You know, she's worse than me.
But
you know what? She does not listen to anyone, does she? It's like I've heard her being asked one on one with Laura Koenigsberg, or whatever, Koenigsberg. And she would not answer the questions it asked. Said, "What do you?"
She's a politician. What do you expect?
Yeah. What are you going to do? Because we know the numbers are not going to stack up for her. What's Plan B if this doesn't get voted up in Parliament, passed in Parliament? Well, I'm concentrating on that vote. No, I know that. What is Plan B, though? Because everyone's saying it won't go through. No, I'm concentrating on that vote. It's a deal people voted for. It's not. We didn't vote for that. What are you talking about? And then she will not answer that question. I would say to her, listen, if you seriously haven't got a Plan B ready to go, you should not be Prime Minister full stop, because you should look at the background behind this. No one's going to vote for it. It's going down. It's like a Titanic. It's going down, full stop. So you better have a life raft or something, or you're going to go down and die in the sea, in the cold sea. You know? So you need a Plan B. What is your Plan B? And so I hate that nonsense, just putting things off. But yeah, listen. What I find amazing is that she's doing completely the opposite of what she said she would do. She said it so many times that no deal is better than the bad deal. And I've said, this is a bad deal. Everyone's saying it's a bad deal. And I've said, this is better than no deal. Yeah. She's flipped it completely. What are you talking about? Yeah. You said several times. And now you're saying the opposite. Anyway, that's...
Going back to what you're saying about the unknown, people being fearful and all the rest of it, and Project Fear, yes, I agree there is an element of that. Again, that's politics, isn't it, in terms of putting people's ideas in people's minds, whatever. But at the same time, there is an element of truth here, because it is the unknown, and... Yes, okay, sometimes the unknown isn't as bad as we all thought.
Unprecedented. No, but listen, Peter, that's it. The options you've been sold is this, right? Mm. It could be worse, it could be okay, as good. What about being better? We are trading with a block that's in trouble.
I can't see that.
We've got, in 2006, right, we did 54% of our trade with the EU. Now it's down to, in 2016, 10 years later, it's 43%. It's going down. They're becoming less influential, right? Italy's got problems. Greece has got problems. People want to leave. There's problems with the EU. It's not flourishing. It's degrading. No. We have amazing tech in our company. We have amazing engineers. We have a lot of brains. There's, you know, we have brilliant industries in this country. We can flourish outside the EU. Why are you getting sold that we have to be there to actually do as well or better when we can't do that on our own? We can.
Donald Trump has said it's a bad deal, so, you know, I respect him. So
exactly.
You know, I'm going to go with his
point, Steve.
Yeah.
But that's what we're sold. You honestly think we can't do well without the
EU? I'm well aware of that. And like I say, I think it's a bigger picture that what they're trying to do is engineer it so that we do stay in. But, I still, as I've said from day one, there's no guarantee. There's no really clear guarantee that we would be that much better off. There'll be good things, there'll be bad things.
Pete, you know that. Do you know what? Have you ever gone into a stock and it's done better than you thought? You know, sometimes it does. Yeah, you have. You've done things like, you know, like Predator Oil and Gas recently. You know, many bag in. You didn't think that would happen. You hope it'll happen. But that can happen. You can do very well. We can flourish outside the EU. But people don't think this. People think it's a pie in the sky idea. No, it's not. It's not. We have the biggest financial centre in the world, apart from America. Our tech is better than anywhere else. Our music and film industry and TV industry is better than anywhere else in Europe. We are an amazing country, and yet we're so worried about the EU.
We can be an amazing country, and then as and when the EU kind of needs to be disbanded or needs to evolve,
we don't want to be on that ship when it goes down. It will happen.
It will be. Let's talk about stocks and shares.
Let's talk about the recession. that's more worrying. I think this Trump deal. I mean, Trump's apparently today. Today, Saturday, he is having a meeting with Xi. You know, and I just think it's all about tariffs, isn't it? You know, the thing is, Trump. I just reading this week. It's amazing that he thinks that the tariffs are going into the American coffers. He's saying, we're getting billions of dollars coming in from these tariffs in China, right? That's what he's saying. No, first of all, you are over $20 trillion in debt, America. $20 trillion. Phenomenal, right? 60% of soybeans grown in America are sold to China. There are farmers going out of business because of the tariffs. America is getting manufacturing has gone down. Global shipping has gone down. It's not good for anyone. So they will do a deal on this. They have to, because Trump, as much as he's put up a brave face and I'm going to ratchet it up even further, and he said that before, on Twitter before these things, as much as he says that, it's brinkmanship, you know? And he's playing hardball before he goes in the negotiating room. And because he has to, because it doesn't help anyone. And over the history of economics, tariffs have an effect there. All they do is make it more expensive for the consumer. That's all they do. It doesn't help countries, because at the end of the day, the consumer pays. The consumer can't afford it, so they stop buying. It stifles growth, and it, you know, damages everyone. I just want to see what they're going to say, you know? Because Trump is very nice when he's face-to-face with people. Yesterday, I was with Abe from Japan, and he's really bigging him up. It was embarrassing how much he's bigging him up, you know? Abe's a fantastic man. He's a good-looking guy. He's fantastic. His wife's... But I want to see what he says. I would like to see Trump and that President Xi. Because you know what it is? If you get conspiracy theories, in about 10 years' time, China's economy will be bigger than America. That's the problem, I think. And America's worried, because they will become a dominant power. And that is quite worrying, really, because they're not, it's sort of, you know, democracy. You know, the Communist Party rule it. So their economy is going to be bigger than America. And so I just think they're trying to stifle them as much as they can before it gets to that, you know? So they're a bit worried about the change in power, you know? But, yeah, Trump Talif. Oh, Talif, Twai. You Talif Twai. No, not Twai. Yeah, Twai, put him down. You put your Talif down. We're going to put them up, man. I'd love to see a massive argument. I would love to see them just arguing and almost getting the fisticuffs and fighting. Fisticuffs. Fighting in the... You got all going to die. You, we got, how many people you got in America? We got 300 million. We got 1.5 billion. Yeah? We got more people, you. Shut your face, Trump. I would love to see that. Pull your tariff down!
Every week.
Pull your tariff down, Twai! Your tariff, Twai! Pull him down!
Right, yep.
But what's worrying, right? So America, right? What's worrying? I've been looking at this recession signals. It will happen. We'll have a rally, right? Global growth is slowing down next year. And, you know, prepare your portfolios. You'll have rallies. When we have a rally towards the end of the year, I would use that to start getting out of stocks you don't want to be in.
I saw a report on Bloomberg saying that commodities are set to rocket next year.
I know. Why are they saying that? I know, but do you know what? I don't think they will, because global growth is going to... We may have a Goldman Sachs said that as well. They've been wrong on several accounts. That's what I'm saying. These professionals are paid lots of money, but they can't turn... If you look at everything, look at this. Global...
It's wage, Project Fear.
Yeah, global wage growth, right, slumped.
Yep.
And it hasn't done that since 5 years. America, what's so worrying is this. America... have $9 trillion of corporate debt, right? This is double what it was in 2007. Double. And that debt has been built on low interest rates. If they put interest rates up, they're going to have a big problem. You have a lot of defaults. And that's when that. And not only that, you've got sort of countries, dollars getting stronger when obviously interest rates go. There's a lot of countries that hold dollar-denominated debt, you know, and so their currencies are weak. Dollars going up, they'll default. It'll be like a house of cards. Can you imagine that? We have double the amount of debt, corporate debt, now than there was in 2007 before the crash. China just now, they're manufacturing, you know, one of the biggest manufacturing in the world. They, for the first time, I think it was about 5 years, something ridiculous, but their manufacturing has not grown. There's a PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, and above 50 is expanding, below that's contracting. They hit 50. It hasn't done that for, I think, no, 2 years I've done that for. And that's quite worrying. And that means that the tariffs are starting to bite in. But once you start a downturn, you can't stop a downturn, you know? Because you get people just psychologically pulling back on investing. No, the growth isn't there. And that's why deflation is so worrying, because people think, why should I buy something now if the price is going to be cheaper in 6 months' time? And so everyone puts off their purchases, you know? So that's the worrying thing. So I just think house price, yeah. But I just think it's a bit of a worry. I'm just saying it's... And I always say this, not to go crazy. People will forget about the bull, about the bear when the bull comes, you know, for a while. A temporary bull puts there in the door. Hey, the bull's here. Hooray. Jump on the bull. And then all of a sudden, you're aware. The consensus is massive. For 2020, they reckon it will be in really recessionary territory. But the slowdown will start happening next year. So, and I'm just saying that to get some cash in. Because I've always said this, and I said there's no better opportunity than after a recession or downturn. When it starts to kick back up, that's when you can earn some decent... I mean, this correction, we are correcting because of that, you know, the change in global growth. It's the stock market readjusting to a slower growth in the next year or so, next few years. That's what it's doing. So, anyway. Okay. Stocks-wise, anything happening? Predator oil and gas, that was a surprise, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a bit of a left field RNS, which is always nice to see.
Steve, tell us about the news.
Oh, I didn't look at the news. I was working yesterday, so I saw it go up, though.
That's nice. There you go.
That's good. That's all you need to know, Steve, isn't it?
So tell
Steve,
me what the news was.
Guess, go on, guess the news. Try and predict what the story was.
They found some oil?
No.
No.
Go on, next one.
No, see, I wasn't even reading our group chats yesterday, so I don't even know what you're saying.
No, you weren't. Do you know what, Steve? There was a point yesterday that Steve was so inactive on the WhatsApp group, I thought he died.
Yeah.
I didn't think that. Thanks for that. No, what do you mean, thanks? I was upset. I was worried for you, Steve. I thought there was no double ticks on the thing. So then, what happens if you had died? Because, Steve, if you do die in your house, who would be the first one to find you? Because you live alone.
It would be a while, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
might be.
It's probably you guys trying to get in touch with me on the podcast.
Steve's not very active on the WhatsApp. No. Well, a week. Imagine that. If you died, and you know your parents or anyone in contact you, and you said, Steve, come on the podcast or not? Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. But who'd be the first to find you, Pete? Because you live alone.
Steve.
Maybe we should have a little pact, Pete, where we just check on each other every now and then.
Yeah. Are you still alive? Yeah. You should do that. Seriously, boys, you're laughing about that now. If you're still single in about 30 years' time, you should be doing that. All right, yes. Pete, are you still alive? Yes, I've woken up this morning, Steve. Have you? Yes, healthy. Yeah. Because I'm down a shop to buy a pack of British milk, a British newspaper.
Shop. Yeah. Well, shopped anymore.
You should have one of those big emergency buttons around your neck. Have you seen those big buttons? Like a buzzer.
I might get one now. They alert me to it. Yep, good point.
So Predator Oil and Gas.
Who would be the first person to find you dead, Justin? And would they care?
Yeah. Mrs. Play push him out of bed. Go on, you're late.
Poor guy's a street party.
Yeah. What was I going to say now?
Yes!
So anyway, Predator Oil and Gas. Right. A new permit in onshore Morocco, Steve. So they've added to their portfolio of oil and gas exploration assets. And as you know, Paul, you know, is very well rehearsed, and he knows Morocco very well because he's the guy. Sound Energy, which has done very well off the Tendrara asset. Paul discovered that, worked it up, you know. And so they know Morocco very well. So they've got this asset there. It's obviously very early stage, 75% equity interest. But it's very close to... infrastructure. It's very good. It's closer than Tendrara, actually, to infrastructure. So I think it's 9 kilometres from north. What is it? North of Maghreb, which is the Europe gas pipeline. So, and that counts for a lot because, of course, when people are looking to invest in you, they want to know how much it'll cost to get the infrastructure, the capex there, to actually get it commercial. And so, when you're in 9K away from a major European gas pipeline, which has spare capacity, you know, then that's good. That's a good thing. So, and also got other things going on. And they did say in the article that it'd be cash flow positive. Early, I spoke to Paul yesterday on the podcast, early 2019, not cash flow positive, but cash flow from their Trinidad CO2 operations. Yep. I'm going to buy three oil stocks. I'm going to have us all. These are them. Predator Oil and Gas, Uplands, and United Oil and Gas. These three, I think they're quality outfits, the three of them. I can't tell which one's going to do the best, but I'll put a little bit in each and just leave it. Just leave it completely and see how they go, you know, because I do believe in all three of the teams there. And I think they're quality oil plays. Any of the other news?
Asian Met announced their placing, didn't they, this week?
Yeah, it's been hammering, isn't it? They've been hammering that. And
it's been hammered.
It's amazing. It's amazing. If you said to each other 6 months ago that Asian Met is going to be at 4p, you know, you'd just laugh, wouldn't you? Like, shut up. What are you talking about? Don't buy now because it's going to be 4p. Like they were 10p. In was that?
Well, for a long time they were hovering around 10p, weren't they?
Yeah. So on the 17th of October they were 10p, and now they're 4.2. But it's amazing how much change. A bit of a delay, you know. BKS didn't go as planned. BFS didn't go as planned. This didn't come out. It's delayed. More drilling needed. More news. All of a sudden, sentiment changes. So that's that quick, you know. People want to get out. But it's a £40 million stock now. But you know, it was a £100 million company, and that's it. At the time, I thought that now we're in. I think you know, getting towards a decent level on Asian Met. You know, if you're going to take an entry now, I think it's a decent level. Whereas when you get to about £100 million, and they're still pretty much exploring, I think it's quite pricey for an explorer. You know.
And potentially, obviously, the reason. for the place and reason for the drop is that they're expanding their drilling and they're looking more in more depth, and potentially that could reap rewards, couldn't it? So
potentially, yes. Did you boys, by the way, did you boys get in on Powerhouse Energy?
No.
That was a cracking RNS on Monday, wasn't it? So yes. It's gone from, I've just got a chart for you. So did you see that news, Steve?
No, well, I'm not in it, so I didn't really know. I didn't really.
Well, boys, I honestly believe this is going to be. If you know, I've liked this for a while. You know, we've got the old plastic thing. We've got big companies looking into hydrogen power, which they can produce. So on Monday, look at the volume there. Something was happening. I've said this a lot of times. I've said it the last few weeks about the volume of Powerhouse Energy. I said it's exceeded average daily volume several times the last few weeks. In fact, and anyway, was it last Friday? It powered up. Broke past the 200-day moving average from 4.4, went to 0.5. And then Monday, it released that news in discussions with Toyota. And it gapped up from 0.5 to 0.64. It's got up to 0.7. But this is the thing. Now, I think this is amazing news. This is amazing news because they've got this, they're in talks with Toyota Tsusho. So, which is Toyota, which is like one of the biggest companies in the world. They're triple-digit billions of dollars revenue, you know. So, Mr. Takashi Toyoko, General Manager, Chemical Business at Toyota. He said, we have been reviewing Powerhouse Energy DMG technology over the past few months and take great interest in it. We are very excited and look forward to potential partnership in Japan and possibly worldwide. So it is, you don't mess around. A company this size, Toshiba, a blue chip, you know, global company, massive company. We have been reviewing Powerhouse Energy's technology over the last few months. So they've been looking into it in the last few months. Just a reading between the lines here. So over the last few months, they've been reviewing it. Now, in my mind, straight away, if they didn't like it, you wouldn't see this RNS. We wouldn't see this RNS, would we?
No,
and they said they take great interest in it. Of course they would announce it, because there's no interest in it. We take great interest in it. What does that mean? We take great interest in it. Oh, yes. We take very great interest. We take very great interest. And he says, this is even better. We are excited. Yeah. Excited and looking forward to a potential partnership in Japan and possibly worldwide. They have a potential partnership. This wouldn't be released if the partnership wasn't happening. They are several months into due diligence. They know what's going on. They've got some of the best, you know, engineers in the world, Toyota. They like it. They're excited by it. They're going to announce a JV here, something. Something's going to happen. Otherwise, we wouldn't see this RNS, full stop.
Yeah.
This is, for a small little company, a tech company, right, doing a deal with a global conglomerate, this is the, what's the word, the golden handshake, the golden ticket. This is the...
utopia.
The goblet. What's that goblet in the biblical terms? Monty Python did a thing about it, a film about it.
Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail. This is the Holy Grail for a microcap company whose tech has been endorsed by one of the biggest companies in the world. This is the Holy Grail. Doesn't get better than this. And so discussions with Toyota have been led to our UK... have been led by our UK... Anyway, it's looking good. I just think... But go back and look at the balance sheet. It's one of the first things I did. And they had like 250 grand back in... I mean, just look, they burned like... I mean... I'll just go through. So you have to look at the balance sheet on things. You have to look at the balance sheet. Because obviously every company needs money. Now, people will tell you, and companies will tell you, yes, but, you know, we won't be raising money in the normal way, probably. We'll be, you know, doing some kind of off-take and all this. No. Do you know what? For operational purposes, I don't care who you do a JV with, they're not going to give you a bit of cash to keep going. You have to do that yourself. Full stop. So let's have a look. So when do they raise money? Okay, so they had operating loss last year for 6 months. It was 6 months, 1.1 million they lost, right, in 6 months. Yeah. Now, they had £252,000 end of June. That's nearly 6 months, isn't it? So, if we go on the current run rate, they're burning £1 million in 6 months. They had 250 grand in June. I would say they're running on clean hydrogen fumes. Like, see what I did there? They're running on clean energy, clean gas, clean syngas.
Yeah, got it. So they're going to need some cash.
They're going to need some cash. And like I said, so boys, this is an opportunity for you. I mean, it's hard to know when it will happen. I think it will happen. Now, that would be the entry point. And I do believe there's tech. If someone like Toyota, so first of all, there's two big deals recently we've had. We've had this, and then we had successful independent technology assessment by DNV, which is a big company as well, an independent big company. So that's two now validations, pretty much. So to me, yeah. I think the tech is good. You know, I think the tech is good. And like I said, you can always hold back. This is still, what, a 11 million market cap company. I don't think it'll be here a lot longer once they get the funds away. I think, you know, it has dipped. So I always say buy on a down day, but I'd wait for some kind of fundraise to happen.
Yeah. And this is one of those stocks that we've spoken about in the last few weeks with the whole uncertainty over here, Brexit, blah, blah, blah. Yes, okay, the money is from London, potentially, whatever, and from the UK, the private investors and whatever, that dictates the share price. But the business itself and all of its revenue and everything is really going to be, well, this has nothing to do with any of Europe or any of that, because they're, like you say, in Japan, they're a global business, aren't they?
Yeah. Well,
is that fair to say that? Would you look at that? Like, that's quite a good one to actually get involved in because of that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not going to be affected by, you know, if it's not going to be affected by any sort of downturn, no, because listen, this is a massively growing industry. It's taken, we got a massive issue with waste and rubbish. Yep. And we're looking, and also on the other end, we're doing away with petrol and diesel and all that stuff, and, you know, hydrocarbons. So, yeah, it's perfect. It's only going to flourish. This is going to become a massive market. The hydrogen fuel cell market is massive. You know, it's going to be bigger and bigger. So, yeah, it will not be.
Okay. And I have it on my watch list, and I will watch it with interest.
So, what you want to do is wait for that, equity fundraise, pretty much. Yeah. I can't say it's going to, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think it should happen. I mean, unless you do some kind of special deal with Toyota, I don't think that ever happens, though. Oh, you have some cash. That's not going to happen. Or they may invest in the car. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'd wait patient, you know. Like I said, we've had a good spike up. It's overbought at the moment. It hasn't gone above 0.7. It's peaked that. Now it's at 0.67.
The only thing that could happen, like Matt's dream world scenario, is that Toyota will buy you because something we can then make our product, basically. Wouldn't that be something that would happen?
Well, they could buy them.
Surely that'd be more of the case, I reckon, Matt.
Yeah, they could
Steve
buy
says,
them. Yeah.
If they Steve
could,
has spoken.
If it does buy them, they go mental. They go mad. Yep. So, I would wait, definitely. I mean, you know, if you say it's in a, I, you know, it's 11 million market cap. That's the thing. So you've got to weigh the pros and cons up, you know, and the thing. But that buying them out, will take a while as well, you know, the due diligence and all that stuff. So
here's a question for you, actually.
Go on.
So if you were invested in a company and they got bought out by a bigger company, what happens to your shares?
Well, they'd have to pay
them back.
Yeah, if it's a listed company somewhere else, then you could. Or in this country, for example, you would probably get shares then in the bigger company or something like that, or they distribute the funds. So let's say, you know, let's say.
Well, they agree a price, don't they?
They agree a price. There's obviously what's called an aggressive takeover, which the company just starts acquiring stock in the company, you know, and once you get to a certain level, but that will push the share price up anyway. Or they make an offer. So let's say, what they called? Powerhouse is at 0.1 pence. They say, we're going to offer you point. They always got to give quite a generous offer, you know, for the board to accept it, to give value to shareholders. So they'll say, okay, we're going to give you a premium bid. Happened with Sky, didn't it? Do you remember we were in Sky?
Yeah.
And when they often, I don't know what we're at, we're at £10, they offer like 12, 21, double the price, didn't they, pretty much? It went nuts. But so they're going to offer a good whack, and then all of a sudden, you know, shareholders, the board will say we'd accept this deal, we'd advise shareholders to accept this deal, and all of a sudden it'll be voted on, and then cash will be distributed, all that stuff, like special dividend or something like that. So or you get shares in the company. So yeah, but you know, you benefit whatever way it happens, pretty much.
But that's the only other scenario. But yeah, you're probably more likely it's going to be an equity raise, isn't it? And
To
help them continue to operate.
Exactly. It's going to be a while. Any other news out this week? Cora Gold's taken a hammering, which is annoying.
Yeah, has taken a hammering.
This is a problem, you see. I've got to say, I always thought as an explorer, when they're at about 9 million, I thought, okay, it may come back. Now, we've had a couple of bits of bad news. They've had a second project which didn't come back, the second drilling didn't come back with decent grades, but their first project is fine. It's still, you know, economically viable to truck it down to Hummingbird. Hemingbird's had a few problems as well. It's major shareholder with their rainy season, and its production has gone down. And then you've got, they probably need to raise money, and then all of a sudden we're in a bad market and they need to raise money, which of course begets selling, and selling begets selling. And so, and it's just one of the things, okay, just have to wait. You know, just have to wait. They have to raise money, and they'll start drilling again, doing some work now in the next year.
But it's just so a market cap of 3.6 million now.
Yeah, exactly. It becomes more attractive the more it goes on, you know, because they've got an amazing project in Sanankoro. They've also got a decent project in Tekladuku, which they don't need to build a mine there. Like I say, they'll truck it down to Hummingbird's mine.
And directors with skin in the game
as
well. Yes,
directors with skin in the game, and a bit, you know, deep pockets as well, rich guys behind it.
And it's, bought in at a much higher price than this. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very decent project. And I think, and my plan on this, always have a plan, you know, of attack. And I think my plan on this is literally, I'm going to be buying stock in this more to average down once there's a fundraiser announced, you know. But like, you know, you can always give it a bit of time with companies after fundraise, because there'll be a bit of churn, so you may even get it below in this market. You may get it below the raise price, especially if warrants attached, like Jan Garda and like Tuple as well. There wasn't warrants attached there, was it? But that's Tuple, right? I'm releasing a video this weekend on Tuple, and I quite like it. The more I look at it, the more I like it. I like Andy's background. He's done so well with in previous telecoms business. He's with TalkTalk, and he really improved their sales thing. In fact, let's look at, I'll try and find it now. But I was looking at Tuple and Bidstack. Two different ends of the market here. What you've got is Bidstack in an area of their own, right, with no competition, barriers to entry. And you say, okay, amazing. But some people say, well, hang on, there's no proof of concept there, is there? I said, well, sort of, yeah. You know, you've got a question. Why in this day and age? I love Bidstack, and I think they will prove it's an excellent sector to be in. But if it's such a, you know, excellent potential company, area, sector to be in, why isn't other people diving into it? You know, why isn't people trying to get a market share of it? You could say they had first move advantage. You know, this has happened several times, and it'll go nuts. That's what I think. Tuple, opposite end of the scale, very competitive telecoms market. Margin's not massive, but that is proof of concept, you know. But if you can do better than the incumbents in the market, you know, you can do very well, because it's what people need. Yeah. Broadband, telecom, this is, it is not, you know, it's a necessity, isn't it, these days? You've got to have all that stuff, you know? So the market is massive. Like I said, there's 5.4 million small and medium-sized enterprises, which they pitch to. BT owned 49% of the market share. There's a couple of others there. And I was looking at the thing, and I'm looking at the track record of Andy and all that, and their sales, the improvement in sales and their conversion rates. So they've got several things going on. The sales have gone up very impressively. Right? I mean, as yet, it's not massive sales money-wise, but every month is getting bigger. And their costs of acquisitions and the general costs are going down. And that's a cracking dynamic. They've got cash. They've got enough cash. They've got about 2 million in cash, which is like their market cap is only 2.7 million, which is ridiculous. That means nothing is priced. And do you know what I quite liked? And I looked through this again, and I heard it several times, and I thought, hang on. I mean, I skipped over it. So I actually transcribed an interview. And Andy said, in the final results that come up this year, we're going to be capitalising Merlin. Merlin is an IP software that when you sign up to them, it's automated. So basically, they can expand. Andy said, we can expand 30, 40 times as big as we are now, and we wouldn't have to add much headcount into the business, because Merlin, the software, is amazingly automated. It finds your carrier, it gives you the best price, gives you the best options. And he said, that's not capitalised yet. And in this year's final results, we're going to capitalise it. And I thought, what is that? You know, I didn't really think much about that. And I looked at their balance sheet, and in their intangible assets or non-current assets, there's only £1,192 they've got there. That's all. And intangible. And I thought, what? So I thought, how much would they put to Merlin? Because it's an asset now, isn't it? It's generating revenue. You know, it's doing very well for them. So how much would they capitalise that at? I think you add that to the cash they've got, like 1.9 million. And their basic their assets will be more than their market cap. That does not happen. That does not happen. You know, and I compared them to other telecoms groups, KCOM and Manx Telecom. Now, their assets, their market cap is in K Telecom. Yeah, KCOM is called. Sorry, listed. So their market cap is five times as big as their assets. In Manx Telecom, it's three times as big as assets. So really, if you look at the Tuple and they put that on there, I don't know what they're going to... They could put £1 million in there. I don't know how much it'll be, that Merlin as a thing. but they are severely undervalued. And not only that, they've got cash and they're confident they will go to profitability before they have to go in the market for cash. So they will not need to go. And I think it's plays like that that could do very well, you know?
Yeah.
And Andy owns like 3% of the company. He did own about 50% until the last fundraise because it's a massive fundraise. But he did own about 50%, so he's been diluted down. If you look at the board, they're all in telecoms and all done really well. And I think this is the kind of company here they could actually. What's good? If you get five, he said, if I can get 5% of that market share, we'll be over £100 million business. I don't think it needs that much. So I was looking at that Manx Telecom and KCom have 5% of the market, right?
Yep.
And they're valued in excess of £300 million.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm just saying. So even by Andy's standard, though, conservative standard, so if they get 5% of the market, they'd be £100 million. So if they get 1% of the market, it's a fifth. It'd be £20 million worth, you know. And yet the 2 points, that's almost a 10-bagger. So it was a 6-bagger. Already there, they get 1% of the market. And if you look at the guy's track records, I think that's highly achievable to get 1% of the market. So I think this is a no-brainer for me. As long as they keep doing what they're doing,
generating revenue right now.
Cost of acquisition is going down, sales going up. Yes, it's a very competitive area, and the margins are small. But if you look through his presentations, I've done quite a bit of research. I'm doing a video on it. I think it's one of these companies. And do you know what? This is how to get wealthy. Okay, and I tell you right now.
Okay, everyone, stop. Listen.
We're going to end the podcast.
After all this time, Justin is going to reveal the secret. Go.
I'm going to end the podcast on this because I don't think you need to know anything else, right? If you want to make serious money investing, right, you need to become a material stakeholder in a company that's at the start of its value generation. So it's very small, and so you can take a nice chunk of equity in the company, right? And a company that will not need to dilute. So it doesn't need funds, because when it releases funds, it dilutes you. So for example, if you are, a 10% holder of the company, and they issue equity, another 10%, make it easier fund, let's say they issue 50% of equity, you'll be diluted down, so your holding of that company will be less percentage-wise, right? So you want to be... take a material stake in a small company that is at the start of value generation, but they will also not need to dilute. If you can do that, you sit back and you're a shareholder in a proper business. You let the business grow and hold on to it for years. That's all you need to do. But it's finding that company.
There we are.
At the moment...
finding it.
Yeah, but at the moment, I believe Tuple can be a very decent-sized business in a couple of years' time. You have the opportunity now to get a decent little chunk in it. So isn't he valued at £2.7 million? You can own half a percent or 1%, 2%, depends on money you got. But you could do that.
Yeah.
What's the risks? Highly competitive market, but they've got a board that's very experienced, and they may not expand as fast as they were. They don't need cash. That's one of the biggest worries to a business the size. They don't need it. But they are getting better. They're improving. Their sales are going up, and their margins are going down. Their costs are going down. So that's all you need to do. It's not about trading. It's not about trading. It's like being like Warren Buffett says: become a business holder. Every company you invest in is a business. If someone said to you, right, you've got one chance to invest this 12 months. You can't do anything else. You've got to hold the stock for 12 months minimum. In fact, let's ratchet that out to 5 years. You've got to take a stake in the company for 5 years. You can't. That's it. Your money's locked in. I would look at Tuple and say, where they started off at and where they're going to be, I think it's a good bet. And I really do.
I think there are two or three stocks in my portfolio at the moment that I probably own for 2 or 3 years. We're having a bit of a hammering at the moment, but they're still fundamentally, hopefully, I think, good companies. And the longer-term picture is that. So hold on to them, and these things will recover.
Yep.
In another year or 2 years, wherever, we'll be riding high again. So,
it's annoying is if companies need to issue equity, it does dilute you. Another thing, the reason why you average down is you want to be close to the bottom as possible, of the valuation as possible. So when they start multiplying, because the first move pretty much is the fastest. For Tuple to double is nothing. Like I said, they will double, they'll be under 5 million. You know, that's ridiculous. They'll be probably, revenue of 2 million this year. So they did a 3.5 million deal over 3 years, and they're doing 250 grand a month, improving on that every month, additional revenue. So I just think This is, I like it. And it's been hated because they did a massively discounted fundraise, but they raised the money. They don't need to raise again. So one big fundraiser like this, and they're ready to go. And so it may not happen. And I've seen companies say this before, we don't need any more cash now until we get to profitability. But I think I've been looking at the figures of the last few months, looking at the cost of acquisitions, and I look at the board, and I think this could do quite well, actually. People have written it off, I think it is because of that fundraise. And that's quite a good time to get in. It's hated. Sentiment's built into that, so it's a good time to take advantage. Anyway, that's it. I've got to go. I've got to swim in with my son. And,
good.
Yes.
Do you go swimming, or do you sit in the side having arguments with people?
I just sit in the side, yeah, arguing with people about the... Yes, God, it's so hot in the swimming pool. Unbelievable.
Right, there you go.
Anyway, so I just sit there. I sit in my trunks, but I don't go swimming.
In the bar.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, have fun.
Yeah. All right, lads. Bye-bye.
Lovely, mate. Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.